Hey everybody, welcome to another podcast of the Parent Pivot Podcast. I'm Steve Cummings.
And I'm Julia Cummings.
Hey sweetie, we have a really special guest with us.
Really, really special.
She came all the way from Reno, Nevada just to be on the podcast. I think that's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And that is our sweet daughter-in-law, Ashley Cummings. Ashley, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
I was just sitting there thinking back going, okay, I remember we have four kids, as most people know.
Yeah.
You know, Wesley, our oldest, got married at, what was he, like 21, 22?
Yeah.
20, and they 21. They married for like 7, 8 years and started having kids. And meanwhile, the other three were like, are these three going to find somebody? I mean, what's going to happen? They're kind of trailing behind. And then Campbell, our second oldest son, who we've had on the podcast,
mm-hmm.
found Ashley.
Yes.
He found her at Hume Lake Christian Camp.
Yes.
Ash, tell us that story a little bit. What was it, love at first sight? I mean, what was going on up there at Hume Lake?
This is a fun story, what year was actually.
Was that 2000?
This was 2018 when we met.
Right.
And just to clarify, we were working at Hume Lake. We weren't campers, which is still a fun story if people have that story. Yeah. But we were working there over the summer of 2018. And I was there as a counselor for any churches that needed a counselor to fill in. And Campbell was there as a resident director.
And so he was your boss.
He wasn't my boss. That was Bob. But he was an overseer of the staff. So in a way, yes, he was someone who was like a supporting role for my role. And an overseer.
And you also worked with Jackson, our other son.
Yes,
you were doing the same job.
Staff. Yeah, and Jackson and I actually met first. And Jackson talks about how after our conversation, he was like, where's Campbell? I got to introduce him to this girl, which is really fun. But yeah, the shorter version of that story is we met and became really great friends mm-hmm. because I actually got to step in as a resident director at times throughout the summer. So we got to work together and get to know each other, and our chemistry as friends was off the charts. Like, we had so much fun and laughed a lot together. But I did like a different boy, and that is Campbell's favorite part of the story because he was long-suffering and waited for me. Until he decided to date somebody else at the end of the summer.
Yeah.
So that was how we met. And it was actually really nice that we got that foundation of friendship first, I think.
Yeah.
Even though there was interest, you know, right. on Campbell's end and all of that. So then it wasn't until later that year that we actually began talking through text and FaceTime and then eventually started dating.
Yeah.
Yes, because he was here for 3 months.
Yes.
And he was talking to you the whole time he was
yes,
here.
Yes, he was. And he yes. was staying up very late Georgia time to talk yes. to me in California time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to refresh my memory, sweetie. I don't always remember details.
Yes.
How did we first meet Ashley?
Well, I met her first. I had met her that summer up at Hume, and because Campbell had mentioned you. But it was in passing, like mm-hmm. it was just in passing. And then we met up, Ashley and I met up for coffee a few months after they started dating, or was it a couple months? I don't even remember
how long it was. It might have been the summertime of 2019 at that point.
Yeah. Well, I know you guys started dating in January. I'm guessing it was when I flew out to California at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And you and I went. Yeah.
Yeah, because we were dating long distance, Campbell
yeah.
and I, from January until June. So it had to have
yeah,
been June or later.
Right.
But that's why I was like, we're already dating for 6 months and I still haven't re-met his mom.
Right. And then you and I went out together on a trip and yep. we met up at Red Robin.
Oh.
And had dinner at Red Robin, yes. all of us. And that's where you met her. And so, but I was already sold. I was sold from the get-go as soon as you guys started.
That's right. Red Robin, that's when we found out she drove this badass Mustang.
Well, I knew that already.
You knew that already.
Yeah. She drove a Mustang and she was a badass. Yeah.
So I always like to tell people, I said, you know, we were blessed with four great kids who all know and love Jesus, and all four of them have chosen really, really well. And I'm privileged to sit with one of our favorite daughter-in-laws. We've got three, but for this podcast, we're sitting with our favorite daughter-in-law.
We do the same with our kids.
We have a
favorite child at any given
time. Some of them have named their thread on the texting thing, I'm my mom and dad's favorite child, or I'm the parent's favorite child. We roll with it because they're all our favorite children and stuff like that. But
So that was the meeting.
Oh, and then, so then you guys get engaged,
mm-hmm.
and Campbell did an amazing proposal. I remember pictures of that. Tell our listeners about your proposal.
Yeah, so Campbell actually surprised me and met me in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. I thought I was there for my best friend's birthday. So we drove to San Francisco. That's
we meaning you and your friend.
Yes, and that was, you know, the area where I grew up.
Yep.
And I just said, you know, today's all about you. Wherever you want to eat, wherever you want to go, we can do. And by the end of the evening, she said, I still want to go to the beach before we leave. And little did I know, that's where Campbell had been waiting for many hours. And so I said, are you sure? There's a lot of traffic. There's a parade in the city. We can do whatever. We can go home. She's like, nope, I really want to go to that beach. So that was a really magical moment because we showed up and I looked across the sand and Campbell was there with a picnic, you know, blanket and a chair and flowers and
and the Golden Gate Bridge behind you.
Yes, and it was a very misty, misty afternoon.
It's beautiful.
And so, yeah, the sun was just glowing in the mist behind him. It felt like a fairy tale moment. And he actually washed my feet and read to me from God's Word. And that was so special. Gave me time to kind of process what was happening. And then when he pulled out the ring box, he opened it upside down. And we had a good laugh about that. And yeah, that was a really special memory and really fun way to propose. So
So that was the summer of 2019?
No, that was actually January now of 2020.
Oh, January 2020. Mm-hmm. So
we're going into the pandemic.
We haven't quite hit the pandemic. Pinched. You guys, I think you had planned for a June wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So walk us through what unfolded and what ended up happening.
Yeah, so after that, we had a small moment of time where we had an engagement season and we were happy and we got to, everything felt normal, you know, for lack of a better description, and took engagement photos, had engagement parties, and then March came. And that is when the pandemic hit for pretty much all of us in the US, right?
Yeah.
It was like March 15th or something. We just had the anniversary pass by actually a few days ago.
Yeah.
And so what that looked like for us was really, at first, I think all of us were just confused as to what the severity of this meant.
Sure.
How long was this gonna go on for? You know, we thought the schools were just gonna be closed for 2 weeks. And so it reached a point maybe, I don't know, 3 weeks after the shutdown or four, where I looked at Campbell and I said, I think we might need to postpone our wedding. I think we might need to reschedule it. And he wasn't really realizing that with me just yet. And he said, are you sure? I think we should just wait a little bit. I think it might open up again soon. And I said, I don't think so.
Because y'all are living in Southern California.
Yes.
And we're in Georgia and we open up pretty much immediately afterwards.
Yeah, we were open by June.
Yeah, and it was different all over
the
world.
We were open by end of April.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. We went quick. Us in Florida.
Yeah. Yeah, and all over the world was different because we knew Jack and Liz had been in Spain and it was very locked down.
They were really locked. They were locked down in their city and they had police outside making sure you stayed inside.
Exactly. Yeah. So we just didn't know what it was going to look like. And so, after discussion, we actually decided to move up our wedding date and do a smaller, intimate wedding with the family. And then we postponed the bigger wedding until later that year.
Right. So we've talked about this on previous podcasts where our three youngest all got married during the pandemic and Campbell and Ashley were the first ones in May.
Yeah.
And here are Jack and Liz in Spain going, well, I think at first they're like going, gosh, we're not going to make it. I think knew there's a lot of tears with them. But then the next thing I know, a couple days later, like, nope. We're going to go for it.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway,
so they came home from Spain.
Yeah.
And
we
made it to the wedding.
We all went out to California to your folks' condo at the beach.
Yes.
And it was just both families. That was it.
Yes. And it was perfect. It was beautiful. And I'm so glad that we got to do that small, intimate version. And that I got to marry the love of my life. Because I really had that feeling deep in my heart of just, I don't want to be forced to wait longer to marry you. You know, I'm just so excited to be your wife. And I don't want this pandemic to come in the way of starting that. So
y'all did a great pivot.
Wow. It's like the name of the podcast.
You did a great pivot there. And so you're the first of the three of our kids that got married in the pandemic. And so that was the first one.
Mm-hmm.
So then we did a second wedding.
Yes.
A year later.
Yes. And we had to postpone that one twice because we said, at first we said, maybe we can do it by November of 2020. And we ended up postponing all the way until May of the following year. So it was more like a 1 year anniversary
celebration. And you got to wear your wedding dress again and you had your bridesmaids that you didn't have at the first one. And
yes.
Bigger gathering was all, you know,
Yes, yeah. And I actually never got to wear the wedding dress that I had picked out that celebration
day. See, I don't remember these things.
That's okay. No, that was a really big part of why I really wanted to still have that day is because all those things I had lost. You know, my first wedding dress was from Nordstrom, and I picked it up in my car. They put it in my trunk, and I drove home with it and put it on and said, hopefully this works and it fits. So, yeah, that was
I think one of my favorite memories of that wedding in May, that was a year later, was Lila, our oldest granddaughter. Now she's four. At the time, she was two? One and a half?
It was 20.
And she was the flower girl. She came down the aisle just holding the petals and really not doing anything with them. And then she stood and hid behind Jackson's legs or something, is when the groom has been. And all of a sudden, she starts throwing them out all around the feet. That was kind of fun. I remember that was one thing I do remember.
Yeah.
And things. So great. And now we're sitting at, you guys are coming up on how many years married?
We're going to be 4 years married this May. So really soon.
Woohoo.
Yeah. With that, too, I just wanted to say Ashley's a teacher.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And she had quite the story with California and teaching and needing to leave California eventually just during that pandemic time because it just wasn't a positive thing for you.
Correct.
And so now they're in Reno. Mm-hmm. And so living in Reno, close to her parents who live, you know, about a half hour away. And now you're at the phase where you are thinking about starting a family.
That is correct. It's very exciting.
Very exciting for us because we want more grandchildren.
Yeah.
So tell us just about that experience and what that feels like to you. And specifically, I just want to ask the question, as you are in that phase of, you know, trying to get pregnant and things like that, you know, part of what we do here is we're trying to help parents of adult children figure out how to be healthy parents of adult children. And so tell us just from your perspective, what you need from your parents and from your parent-in-laws as you go through that phase.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, first of all, I just want to say, I know that every person is different. So I'm just kind of speaking from my experience.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But for me, I have always wanted to be a mom since I was a little girl. I'm also the oldest child in my family. So I think I kind of had that maternal, you know, kind of instinct and feeling. I enjoy that. I'm a teacher. So I obviously enjoy mentoring and discipling people. And so I've always looked forward to being a mom one day. And I think that's a great thing for parents and in-laws to just remember about their child or their in-law child is that that person may really have that desire in their heart already. And I think that the number one thing I would just say and think about is just remember when you make, you know, little comments or jokes about really wanting those grandchildren, that person may already really, really want that.
Mm.
And I think just because they're not talking about it doesn't mean that they aren't desiring
it. Good point.
Yeah. And it's something that's behind closed doors for a lot of people because you just don't know what your journey is going to look like. I didn't know if once we started trying, if it was going to happen right away or if we're going to have a really hard journey. And nowadays you just hear about so many infertility struggles, you almost expect it.
Yes.
So you kind of don't want to announce to your parents that you're trying and then get their hopes up along with your own and just not know what that's going
to
look
like. And then there's bump into it where maybe you do get pregnant, but you don't want to say anything too quickly because, you know, nowadays, you know, we went through it with Jamie Lynn too, because you have a
miscarriage.
Yeah.
And and some people don't want to be public in their grieving.
Mm-hmm.
Jamie Lynn chose to be public in her grieving.
Right.
But, you know, most people I know really don't want that.
So what I would say just in this part of the discussion is if you're a parent out there and you're pivoting to a partner, everybody's got a different journey of what that looks like.
Yeah.
So even though you might have an expectation of things, you want to talk about it, make sure how they're thinking about it, this, that, and the other. It's like, you know what? It goes back to a lot of our podcasts. You know, just be there and have relationship over being right. And you don't need to communicate things or expectations or whatever because your kids and your in-law kids, we don't know what's going on behind the scenes. Things are different because you're leaving and cleaving and clinging to our son and doing an awesome job at it. So, yeah. So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, and I will just say, you know, Wes and Chels, our oldest, they went through 3 years of infertility. Mm-hmm. And that was really, really tough. Now, I feel like with all of our kids, we knew when they were starting to try. Mm-hmm. Like, they're open enough that they told us that.
Because we talk about everything in our family. We'll have to ask Ashley about that later.
Probably talk about too much. But, so I have felt the freedom to joke with my kids. Like, yeah, I just want to have grandkids. Come on, get on it. But I never did that with Wes and Chels. Mm-hmm. Probably because that was my first. And then when they started that infertility, I would have never in a million years said anything like that, mm-hmm. other than trying to understand their pain of it.
Right. They would ask us to pray for them. So we were in on that part of
We were. But I do know, like you're referring to, mm-hmm. that a lot of people might not tell their parents when they start trying, mm-hmm. for the reasons that you said. Or maybe they just don't want to hear from their parents. So it becomes a difficult task as the parent of an adult child to keep your mouth shut, mm-hmm. and to not be nagging them, to not be saying, well, when are you going to start trying? Or in the case if your child is struggling with infertility, spiritualizing it on some level, or saying, oh, as soon as you stop trying, it's going to happen. That's a common one. Mm-hmm.
Leave all the unsolicited advice and scripture verses out of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you heard any of that yourself, like from people?
You know, there was a friend who's a mom that I talked to pretty early on in trying. I kind of just decided to open up out of the blue. And she gave a little bit of advice, but it wasn't like unsolicited, nor was it the cliche things. Mm-hmm. She kind of shared some of her perspective, and I didn't mind that, but I have heard people say in general, not necessarily to me, but saying, oh, once you try is when it happens. Or I've actually shared that, you know, I think, oh, maybe I just need to try and surrender this journey a little bit better, you know, and then people have said things like, yep, that's usually when it happens, you know, it's like right when you let go. Right. And while that may have some truth to it, because people said the same thing when you were dating and looking for a spouse, you know, once you stop trying, that'll happen. But you'd also say, yeah, but I can't just sit at home in my room and do nothing and just expect a man to fall out of the sky, you know, it's kind of the same idea. You have to have a little bit of hope, and you have to put a little bit of effort into this thing that you want, and at the same time have to hold it so loosely, because you don't know God's plan, and you don't know if it's going to take 5 years or if it's going to be the next month or when it's going to be. And so it can be really difficult, and it can be an emotional roller coaster. And if you aren't clued in on where your child is in that journey, then you just don't know, you know, how your joke is going to land or how your advice is going to land at that moment. Because when we weren't trying and somebody said, oh, when are we going to get grandchildren? You know, I didn't feel offended or hurt by that. But the second you start trying and you feel maybe sad or disappointed, then it really can hit hard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And honestly, it doesn't matter if it's 1 month or 30 months of being disappointed. Every month is a disappointment, mm-hmm. if you're trying.
Yeah.
And the fear is there with, am I going to be able to experience this? Mm-hmm. So that's very real. I went through some of that myself, actually, with our first and our third. Mm-hmm. Not knowing if I was going to be able to have any more, or in Wesley's case, like, I didn't know if I was going to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. So, mm-hmm. so we did some infertility, but I ended up being quite fertile, mm-hmm. in the end.
Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
It is what happens.
I enjoyed my part.
Oh my gosh. Ew, Dad.
That's one thing I appreciate about Ashley and Liz. They both call me Dad, even though I'm their father-in-law. I hate the in-law tag and label, and I've told our in-law kids, y'all aren't in-laws. I know we have to communicate that on a podcast and other people, you know, as you introduce people, but I will always refer to Ashley and Taylor and Liz and Chels as our daughters and our son and stuff, because they're that much a part of our family.
Right. Yeah, and we adore them.
We do.
And I adore you guys, and I appreciate being called a daughter. It's fun.
So is there anything else that you feel like is important in this stage of life that you kind of wish that parents knew, or they did differently, or in-law parents? And don't be afraid to offend us.
Yeah. This is this. We usually use this podcast as, hey, people, we are not experts.
Yeah.
We're going through stuff in real time. So we make mistakes, and here are some of those mistakes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we leave it out there because we want our listeners to learn that way too. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
I think as far as my experience being an in-law with you guys is, I feel very blessed in the sense of, you know, look, you're doing this podcast. You're obviously aware and wanting to be great in-law parents, mm-hmm. and learn and grow in being parents to adult children. And that right. brings the in-laws and all of that as well. So at least you guys are aware. But I do know that there's a lot of people out there who aren't aware or who aren't very open to feedback or to changing, or they might just not see it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I would just encourage any other parents out there to maybe just try and be a little bit more open, even if it's just 1 degree or 2 degree, you know, to thinking, hey, you know, I may not be perfect, or what I'm saying or doing may not be perceived mm-hmm. in the way that I think that I'm saying it. You know, there's cultural differences, mm-hmm. there's just family differences in the way we all were raised and experienced family life. So I think I would just say, just be open. Mm-hmm. And I think, honestly, from my perspective, I would just rather have somebody ask and be actually a little bit more direct if mm-hmm. they really have a burning question mm-hmm. about the future of your family, you know, and say it in the most neutral, calm, kind, loving way, rather than saying those cliche things we talked about
yeah.
or...
Yeah, beating around the bush with it, trying yeah. to get to something. It's like, just tell me.
Yeah, and I know I'm different than other people again, but I think if someone were to say to me, like, hey, Ash and Cam, we love you guys. We know you're going to be great parents one day. Yeah. And we're just curious over here because we're excited for the one day, you know?
Yeah.
What does that journey look like for you guys? And I think that would be a lot better received than, mm-hmm. yeah, I'm still waiting on grandkids, you know, or those things that people say. Well, so
one good step is I just watched Campbell practice, you know, changing diapers for the future on his little niece and stuff.
Yeah.
So he did a good job.
He's
so
good.
He's starting to get better at that.
He's good.
He's going to be a little nervous eventually, but mm-hmm. yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He's a funny one, but I love him.
Definitely. Is there anything you wanted to say, Ash?
No, like, just you already alluded to a little bit, Ash, but what's it been like marrying into this family? Because mm-hmm. as we've talked, like, with some of our other in-law kids, it's like you come from, you're raised in a different family, and that's your normal.
Right.
And with any family, like when we raise our kids and our kids grow up and they go, they married into another family.
Uh-huh.
Both sides now have in-law families. And it's like, well, this is the way our family did it. Well, this is the way our family did it. And we've talked during the like November, we had a podcast on traditions.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, we got Thanksgiving and Christmas coming up. Maybe there's other holidays, 4th of July, whatever. Parents, if you want to be a good partner, back up. Let them decide what they want to do,
right?
And roll with it. Sometimes traditions have to come to it to an end, and you figure out something else and stuff. So marrying into this family, has it been crazy? Has it been what? How would you?
Oh,
how would
my
you phrase
gosh!
It?
Don't get me started. I'm just kidding. I'd say there's definitely differences in my family to your family that we've kind of already named and talked about,
yeah.
like that the Cummings family is more like boisterous and maybe loud about opinions or thoughts or even arguments. You know, arguments can be loud, and that doesn't mean that somebody's mad necessarily.
That comes from the Hicks side of the family.
Yes,
so everybody out there
true.
Knows.
But when I talk about your family, you're the Cummings family
right.
to me.
Right.
Yes, I know yeah. it comes from mom's side, but
yeah.
Yeah, that's a big one for me because in my family, we didn't really have loud arguments. And if something was loud, that would be very alarming to me. So that's a difference
yes.
that I've noticed.
We're very passionate people in our family. Mm-hmm. But there's acceptance and love afterwards. It's not like you're creating, you know, enemies.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hopefully.
Yes. yes. And I would say it's also very interesting when you come in from the outside and you see everybody's different roles within the family dynamic.
Mm, that's true.
So even how Campbell might be slightly different when he's with you guys as your son than when it's just the two of us at home.
Right.
You know, I've seen him a little bit kind of relax in a good way, you know, and also kind of take a step back. Like we were just all talking about planning the day today.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, look, Dad's here. Dad can do it all. And I'm like, that's so funny because he can plan and do things when we're home, but he's just going to lean on you because he's here with you. So seeing that and how, like, how much of a planner Dad is and how we all talk about that, you
yeah.
know, and how
yeah.
much Mom is more on the emotional side, in tune with your emotions, and we all recognize, and that's
yeah.
kind of your role, you know.
Yeah. yeah.
So I think it's interesting to kind of see those things from the outside in,
yeah.
and then get to be a part of it.
Yeah.
So those are some differences, and I think, yeah, my family, I feel sometimes a little bit more private about certain things I want to talk about. So that is also a difference where I have to remind Campbell sometimes, like, hey, I wouldn't love this aspect of my life being talked about in a big, you know, group setting in the family room. Or,
yeah.
And so it's a challenge for him because he's like, oh, I'm not used to having a filter on what things I'm sharing about my life, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not the feeling of hiding something. It's just like, there's certain things I'm okay discussing in a group and other things I'm still processing on my own. And yeah.
And so, I think I've watched you guys do this really well. Anytime you've got your kids marrying into another family and vice versa, you're learning, like we know Campbell really, really well. We had him in our house. Or now, God bless it. God bless you. Now get to take care of him for the rest of your life, which we just say that very jokingly. But where I wanted to get to is we're learning more about Ashley and sometimes her needs, sometimes through Campbell, because it's like we've got this expectation level, the way we've done things in the Cummings family. It's like, oh, wait, you know, she might want to do things differently. I go, okay, so we back up and accept that, move on. One of my favorite times with y'all was Thanksgiving a year or so ago of 22, and we went up to Nashville and we went down to Broadway and found ourselves at karaoke bar and we all picked up karaoke songs and I'm like going, okay, what can I do that's going to make this more comfortable for me? It's like, I know, I'll do Neil Diamond's song, Sweet Caroline. And we had a blast. But in thinking about that, I know y'all had an interest in Tennessee and things like that. Have you ever felt pressure from us or beaten y'all up to saying, hey, you need to come live in the South. You
every
need to be
time.
Closer to
us. Every time. Without fail, every time.
I was going to say, yeah.
I just told Campbell that yesterday. I said, how many times do you think this trip already, in a day and a half, do you think we've been asked, when are you going to move to Georgia? Or when are you going to move out here? And he was like, probably a million. And then we both said, well, it's nice to be loved and wanted, isn't it? So
I
we know.
Done that. Who's been doing that?
Well, we had a huge family gathering last night. So
there's at least five people at the family gathering.
Okay, we're
gathering.
Talking extended
Plus mom.
Family.
Mom is 20 of the million times.
We were telling our listeners to keep your mouth shut and welcome Matt out.
I really love them being
here. I know. We have a lot of fun with them and we're cherishing our few days.
Yeah. And she also says that she would like to come live closer to where her other kids are too. So in her defense, it's not just asking us to come out here, which is nice.
They're in four separate parts of the country though.
Yeah, I would. Yeah, if you guys were all in the same place,
right.
All of you.
That would be easy.
I would pack up and move wherever you guys were. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway, yeah, but with the kids all spread out in different places, that is, it's emotional.
But it is
a
desire of parents who are becoming partners that, hey, we kind of wait for our kids to get married. Sometimes they meet at school and they end up living in that city or that part of the country or, you know, they'll move back. And a lot of times what happens is, and we watched this with some of our friends from our home church in Santa Ana, California, their kids have moved to North Carolina. Or wherever else. And they, as soon as they have a baby, here comes mom and dad.
Yeah.
Because you want to be around the grandkids.
Yeah.
And so we're still kind of in that waiting period. You know, we've got, you know, a couple of grandkids out west. We've got one under our roof.
Yeah.
And more to come. And so we'll kind of wait and play it by ear. But at the same time, I'm traveling a lot and accumulating airline miles. And so we're just flying our kids out here. And we're heading to a nice family reunion this summer at Hume Lake.
Which is very nice to have those things to look forward to.
Our oldest son, they're having their third child.
Yeah.
And nobody's met all the babies yet, so we're calling it Baby Meetup for the Cummings Family 2024 at Hume Lake.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is where we all met. Mm-hmm. So that's awesome.
And where Jack and Liz met.
And where Jack and Liz met. And
currently live. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we are very excited about that. And in a perfect world, if I had endless money, I would buy a condo in every city that my kids lived in so that I could go and spend extended time in each of those cities for a period of time and just enjoy that and do that. But we don't have that kind of...
No, but if there's any listeners out there who are feeling kind-hearted enough, I'm teasing.
We need Orange County, California, Reno, Nevada, and
Hume Lake,
or Fresno, Hume Lake area. Yes.
Yeah. That's the pie in the sky wish list, but
that would be.
Anything else you want to talk about, Ashley?
No, I just, she's a gem. We love her. We appreciate her. She is great for Campbell, and
she balances him real well.
She balances.
And you know what I love about Ashley is she's very accepting. She's an amazingly godly woman. She's very accepting of Campbell, and he's got a very he's a lot like you.
Yeah, we talked about that.
We talked about the highly sensitive person last podcast.
Yes, Campbell and I both fit that bill.
Right, and she's been amazing at loving him well through some stuff over the last few years, the start of their marriage.
Yeah.
So Ashley, that speaks volumes to your character, your love for Christ, and the way you serve our son.
Thank
you. And we love you to pieces.
And we hope we raised him well enough that he does the same for you.
Oh, yes. I appreciate that. And the first thing I was going to say is Campbell loves me really well, too. And though he may be highly sensitive, it also is his superpower, like you guys have talked about.
It's exactly what Steve says about me.
Yes, yes.
Well, and so I think it's harder for a man to understand that because, like we talked about last podcast, you quote-unquote, as men, you expect women to be more emotional, more sensitive, whatever. Mm-hmm. For a man to be that way, it's kind of like, well, what is the matter with you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and stuff. And I keep telling him and speaking truth in him, I go, no, this is a superpower. You have the ability to really engage. In fact, he's only been here in Georgia for what, 24, 48 hours? And I'm watching him engage the rest of the extended family. He is very good at just being alert and intuitive and just like his mom, being able to connect with people at that level. And God's got something for him for the rest of his life and whatever his chosen profession will be. He's working on a couple of different things. That gift is going to carry him well. Yeah. And it's going to carry him well as a dad. And stuff. So, as we come to the end of our podcast, what I usually like to do is if you love what we're talking about or you have some questions about that or you've got an idea yourself about something we could talk about, we would love for you to let us know. So there's two ways to get a hold of us. One is I'm getting text messages on my cell phone. So please text us and say, hey, we love listening to Ashley. We wanted to know more about this because we have a daughter-in-law that may be very similar going through stuff and might have a specific question. So text me at 714-742-9625 and let us know. And then you also can get a hold of us on our email address, which is parentpivotpodcast@gmail.com. We are so grateful you listen to us. We are growing all over the country in different states. And what else?
That's it. I have nothing else.
Ashley Ann Cummings.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for
being
with
us.
Yes. And join us next time on the Parent Pivot Podcast.
Bye.